No.
Okay. I'd like to welcome everybody to the December meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District. We're conducting this meeting by Zoom, as allowed by the governor on his decrees because of COVID. Director English, can you call roll, please, sir?
Sure. Jared Reynolds?
Here.
Don Micah?
Here.
Tim Watts, I guess, is absent.
Absent.
Mike Berkeley? Is he not here?
I don't see him.
Tracy Messler?
Here.
Brent Wilson?
He's not here yet either.
Okay. Richard English, here. Shannon Nave?
Here.
Right. Yeah, we do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. Glad everybody is here. Hopefully everybody else is doing better than I am right now, so have less to hassle with. First item on the agenda is consent agenda, approval of minutes from public hearing and regular board meeting on November 16th, approval of bank statement ending November 30th and current financial reports of the district, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through December 21st, and reimbursements for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through December 21st. Does anybody need anything pulled? If not, I'd entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
I saw
I'll do that. I'll second.
I heard Shannon and I heard Don for a second, Percy.
That's correct.
And Mike Berkeley just joined the meeting.
Good evening, Mike.
Yeah, I just found God dang, somebody took my laptop.
Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. No items were pulled from consent, so item six is moot. Item seven, discussion regarding extending the deadline to apply for a historic use permit, including but not limited to adoption of resolution 20-007, extending the deadline to apply for a historic use permit and intent to amend district rules. Doug?
Yes, sir. So Kyle and I have been talking about this a good bit, and I visited with you, Tracy, and Brian, and Tim and I visited about this. We've gotten, and I put all the numbers out in a memo I sent, but we have basically, for folks that are applying for a historic use permit, we've kind of got three categories. You know, the folks that are already reporting to the district, folks that own a well that at one point was reported on, but right now it's either exempt or non-operational. For example, landowners that had wells that were drilled by an oil and gas company that were used for oil and gas activity, but have been since been turned over to the landowner. Well, they have a right to apply for a historic use permit. And then the third category is folks that were not required to report under previous rules, but due to rule changes have to come into reporting. And so of those three, of the currently reporting, I think the numbers, I mean, we're like, we did get the last group of them that I'd mentioned in my memo, and we're less than 20 away out of, was it like 350, Kyle?
Yes, sir.
So out of 350, we've got basically all but about 15 historic use permit applications. For the folks that are coming into compliance, so these are the golf courses that are pumping into, you know, vanity ponds, HOAs, that type of situation. I think there's only, and then it's really, really small public water systems, or retail public utilities. I think all but one has been at least visiting with us. We haven't got historic use permit applications from all of them, but most of them we have. I think there's only a few outstanding, correct, Kyle, that we haven't received anything from.
Yes, sir, with the exception of the one that you mentioned, obviously.
And then, but the big one that's we have not received that many are the landowners that had wells drilled by oil and gas companies, produced water, and then turned back over to the landowner. There's a, what, 100 or so of those, Kyle?
Yeah, so we've received about 27 out of like about 150.
Yeah. So that 153. Yeah. So those numbers aren't great. We've sent out multiple letters, certified letters to all of these folks. But as we get closer to the end of the year and this deadline, and because of the year is just, well, let's just face it, it's been a strange year. We kind of thought it would benefit the district, it would benefit those people to give them one last shot. We're recommending to extend the deadline to submit a historic use permit application until June 30th. The way we've done it and the way we're proposing it, it won't delay the district's ability to begin to process and take action on these. We can still begin doing that in January. We're just prolonging the deadline for them to actually submit a historic use permit application. Most of the ones that we're concerned with and wanting to really reach out to are folks that really aren't using their wells right now, but it might be in their best interest to attain a HUP. And then there are the 15 or so folks that are currently reporting. I mean, one of them, Don, how many systems does Donnie have?
He has three.
So there's three right there. I mean, I don't know what's hanging up. Kyle's talked to him multiple times. He keeps saying he's going to submit it. And I know a couple of these folks, they have been dealing with COVID issues and out of the quarantine and recently. So I'm recommending that the board adopt this resolution that extends the deadline to submit a historic use permit application from December 31st, 2020 to June 30th, 2021. And then the resolution also states the intent to amend district rules to actually bring this extension into the rules by no later than the end of February. Brian had initially mentioned January, and I thought with all the notice requirements and getting everything done, that'd be pushing it kind of tight. So we decided to try to get it done in February. And then instructs the general manager to implement the changes to the district rules set forth in the resolution, and then instructs me to begin the process to hold a rules hearing in conjunction with our February meeting. Includes posting notice and all that stuff. And that's basically it. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I've got one quick question. Is this in any way going to influence the effective date of the historic use permits?
No. Richard, the effective date of the historic use permit is when the board takes action. And so the way the process is going to work, I was going to do kind of a PowerPoint on it in January, but the way it works is on January 1st, the board can start to process them, right, or start to take action. But really, my official technical review will begin on January 1st. Staff's already been doing a pre-review. Kyle and Jay have got a bunch of them lined up that are ready. I'll go through them, make sure they're administratively complete. Anything that's not administratively complete, I'll send them a letter saying that we need this, we need your drought contingency plan, we need your, you know, some form is signed by the wrong person, something like that. Once we determine they're administratively complete, for all of those that are only requesting their maximum historic use or less, those will basically be ready to bring to the board. And I'll start bringing them to the board in groups. We're going to start with Hood County and move north. It's a 30-day notice requirement. There's quite a bit that has to be put in the notice. So I'm guessing March, possibly April, I'll bring the first group of these to the board for action. We'll come in a group, and that's why I'm going to give you guys I'll kind of give some examples ahead of time, but I'll basically bring a group of these to y'all. Y'all see each of these systems' maximum historic use that they've reported to the district. You'll see what they're requesting, and then you'll see my recommendation. Which all of that has to be put out in the notice. Because, you know, with 400, 500 of these, obviously, you know, we don't want to take action on, we don't want 400 or 500 hearings. So we're going to do them in groups. I'm going to send them out to you guys early enough in advance that if you have any questions, hopefully we can address the questions ahead of the hearing. But that's kind of how it'll play out. And then when the board takes action on, that's the effective date of the permit, Richard. And the HUP, the historic use permits are 10 years. And then it's basically just an administrative renewal every 10 years, where you basically just submit an application and it's the GM approval unless something's changed. Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah, one quick question, Doug.
Yes, sir.
If, like in that example number two, if uh-huh. if you lose your historic use permit, because out of ignorance, I mean, I can see a lot of people not knowing, regardless uh-huh. of what y'all communicate, they don't, it doesn't factor in that they need to get a historic use permit.
Uh-huh.
The oil industry starts acting up again. How much trouble is it for them to go back and then get a historic use permit, or have they waived always the right to get it?
So once the deadline's passed, they've basically waived their right to get a historic use permit. Now, Brian can address this better than I can, but I mean, you know, y'all can, the board can amend the rules at, you know, at any time after notice and hearing to change that. You know, I think, you know, I would assume the board can amend their rules to allow several years down the road to allow somebody to apply for a historic use permit. But the way the rules are written now, once that deadline is passed, they've waived their right for a historic use permit. They could apply for an operating permit, which is tied to the acreage they own, but in some cases that may be limiting, and maybe what they could be allocated under an operating permit could be much less than what they historically produced.
Okay. But there is, at least if they go the operating permit route, and if they've got acreage, then there is an possible alternative.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yes, sir. But we just, and what we plan is, if the board approves this resolution, early next year, we're going to run a legal notice trying to, like, I mean, that's the only other way I can think of to reach people. We'll put something out in the papers and the legal notices about the deadline. We'll resend out letters to all these folks. But I don't expect much more of a, I just want to say that, you know, we've done our due diligence to try to reach them. And I feel that we have, but I really want to, one last push.
Any other questions?
I make a motion to approve the resolution extending the deadline to apply for a historic use permit and intent to amend district rules.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Director Berkeley. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number 8, discussion regarding alleged failure to timely submit accurate water production reports and water use fees to the district for the calendar years 2009 through 2014 for wells owned by Land Fund Manager LP in Hood County, including but not limited to the approval of a settlement agreement between the district and Land Fund Manager LP, and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. And Tracy, I'd talked to you about this a long time ago when we first kind of thought this was the case. And I put it in my GM report a couple times, give you a heads up that this is coming. So basically, this is a Land Fund Manager owns a site on the north side of 377, kind of between Granbury and Crescent, a little bit closer to Crescent. They sold a good bit of water back in 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I think they peaked in 09, 10, somewhere around there. They've reported to the district. It originally came to my attention when I first got here. I was not aware because at that time our data system, you know, wasn't easy to look back, and I'm just not going to lie, I never looked back. I didn't realize it was an issue going back before that they'd been misreporting. When Kyle was going through all the data for getting ready for the historic use process, he started really digging into the numbers, digging into meter readings. They were reporting meter readings, I mean, for well one, they'd report meter A for a while, then meter A, they'd report on well three. Once Kyle finally got it all put together and made sense, we had a pretty good idea of what they actually produced. We brought this to the attention of the actual owner. So it was a management, so it was a different group that was managing the property for the owners. The owners didn't know anything, have any contact with the district, barely knew we existed. Once we actually contacted the owner earlier this year, and we told them that, you know, from 2009 to 2014, the management company had only reported 389,000 gallons had been pumped. And, you know, he immediately said, no, that's not right at all. We've all come, so they, over that, you know, 5-year period, 6-year period, they reported that only paid $85 to the district. It appears that they've pumped upwards of 180 million gallons and should have paid almost $40,000 to the district. So in discussing this with the owner, he's, you know, fully agreed. He provided us with records of their water sales, and it kind of matches up with what Kyle's made of the meter readings. So we've landed on a pretty good number, and that's the number that they've included in their historic use permit application. And I've told him before, you know, we can really process that. We need to bring it to the board, and, you know, he's going to have to bring, you know, he's basically got a bunch of production that wasn't paid for. He was totally on board with that. He understood. He just asked that he be able to work out some sort of payment plan, because to pay $40,000 all at once was a little bit more than he could handle. So I took we have a similar agreement with Abraxas, you all may remember a couple years ago. I took that and started with that, updated that settlement, sent it to Brian. Brian's gone over it, made several changes, and we've come out with a settlement to pay the outstanding $39,580.22 over a 10-year period, with a minimum of one annual payment due the first business day of December, a minimum payment of $3,960 due the first business day of December each year, starting in 2021. I provided the settlement agreement to the owners. They couldn't make it today. They were away. They weren't able to have internet access, but they were agreeable to all the terms set forth in the settlement. I'd strongly recommend to approve the settlement as it's presented. You know, I think that the owner's been very, very willing to work with us. I mean, he understood, you know, they should have paid these fees all along. He had no idea. As soon as it was brought to his attention, they were willing to take care of it. And happy to answer
any questions.
What was the water being used for?
Frac supply. I'm guessing that's, I mean, it was for oil and gas. They were selling water. Folks were pulling up, you know, and hauling off. Wasn't on site though, Jared. It was.
We're not collecting any interest, correct?
No. My recommendation is just for them to pay off the fees that they should have paid originally. And that's just based on their willingness to work with us. The company that was responsible for this is no longer managing the site for them. It hasn't for several years.
Any other questions?
10 years is a long way to pay it out, but I understand the deal, but it would be good if they could pay it out earlier and we give them a benefit or something.
Well,
I'll go along with you.
Okay.
Doug, are they still selling water?
No. They haven't in several years. I think they've reported minimal use over the last several years, mainly to maintain water levels in their pit, evaporative loss, that kind of stuff. But they do want to, you know, apply for historic use permit in case, you know, basically to protect their investment in those wells.
So now, Doug, they've got a whole year to make the first payment?
Correct. They'd asked instead of monthly, they asked for annual payments.
Well, but shouldn't they? I mean, to me, they're just buying time. If they sell out, if they dissolve, there's any number of ways they legitimately could get out of this. It seems to me like they ought to have to pay something up front.
That's where I was coming from about the idea of being 10 years is a long way to go. We should have some kind of down payment.
I mean, if that's not practical, so be it. But yeah, I agree with Don. Something needs to be done immediately.
Doug, I take it the owners are out of town.
They are. They were. He wasn't specific. He just sent me an email over the weekend and said that he would not have internet access and he wouldn't be able to make this meeting.
I would entertain a motion to table this until the January meeting and let Doug busy with the owner to see if we can get the first payment up front, some form, sometime in the first quarter of 2021, and then annual payments as in the resolution. I do think we need to have some money up front since there is no penalty or interest charges.
I will go along with that because I do think we need to have some. We need to have something because who do we know that next week he sells out and we're lost $40,000?
Yeah. So.
Gotcha.
Do we need to take the action to table?
Do we need to make a motion like he said? If not, what do you think, Brian?
I mean, it's half a dozen of one, six of the other. You can move to table it till next month and ask the general manager to contact the landowner about an upfront payment in the first quarter.
Okay.
I think that would put a little bit more muscle behind the request. So moved.
So. Okay. Just so I'm clear, so when I come back next month, the first payment number one would be due by the end of the first quarter of 2021, and then every payment thereafter due by the first business day of December. Would that work for you guys?
Well,
it'd work for me.
If I understood what you just said, that payment number two would be due December 1st of 2021, then...
So basically the board's looking for two payments next year.
That's the way I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. I just want to make sure before I, so when we change the settlement, I talk to them.
Okay. Just remind them there is no penalty or anything in this. Yeah.
That's right. Tell them there's no penalty.
No interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would, you know, all the burden, you know, there's no additional burden on them at this point. So it could have been.
Okay.
I have motion from Richard. Do I have a second?
I'll second that we table it to next week and next month.
And second by Don. Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Management report, Doug.
So earlier I mentioned we had one of the folks coming into compliance that hadn't really complied. It's Jones Acres Water System. It's just a really, really strange situation. Several staff have been out there. We're not even really sure who owns the system. I mean, it's dilapidated down to nothing. It's the folks that live out there are basically maintaining the system. I went a whole year without getting a bill, and they all got a random bill for $300 at the end, you know, a couple weeks ago or so. We can find who owns the land. It doesn't match who TCEQ has on their records as owning the system and operating the system. TCEQ has a $20,000+ outstanding judgment against them. They didn't reply to any portion of that that suit from that enforcement from TCEQ. We've mailed letters. We've searched the internet. We're going to keep trying to contact these folks, but I think we've exhausted basically every effort. But eventually, I think if we can't, we may have to eventually take legal action against them. Just, but I don't even know. I mean, I don't. We've got to at least find out who owns an operating system. Like I said, we know who TCEQ took action against, but we can't find anything to actually get a hold of that person. HUP applications, we talked about that earlier. I'll give a more thorough kind of outline of how that process should look like next month. GMA-8, I talked about GMA-8 a little bit last month. Next month, we'll be holding our hearing to take public comment on proposed DFCs. I've got a notice out, sent that to Brian. We've got time. I've got to send that out to newspapers, but we'll have that hearing next month. I would like, so as part of the budget, the board did authorize increasing staff by one, and I have selected Zane Bearden. He's recently finished school at Tarleton to start as a new field tech. So when we actually get back in the office, y'all can welcome him. He's here on via Zoom, I believe. And then lastly, and Brian may have something to add on about this. I don't know if he wants to talk about it under his GM report, the amicus brief that Tag discussed a couple weeks ago, Brian. I don't know if you wanted to add anything about that.
Yeah, I certainly think it's worth Tag submitting an amicus brief on this issue. It's basically an issue of someone failing to get a permit as they were required to under the district rules. The district goes to enforce against them, and they claim that the district's enforcement action was taking when they failed to apply for the permits that they needed. And it's not the kind of precedent. It would be bad for districts statewide. And so Tags asked for members to vote on whether it should submit an amicus brief. Doug's proposal is to vote on that. And I think that's the right choice.
It seemed like after hearing them talk about it, it seemed like a pretty straightforward thing. It would definitely set a bad precedent for all districts. but yeah, I just wanted to give you all a heads up on that.
Doug, has the decision been made to file that?
No, I think so. Tagged has a pretty strict policy. We had our first tag meeting to talk about it. There'll be a second tag meeting in January for member districts to take action. If they vote, then they'll select an attorney to draft it and file it. But it has not been filed. I think they're even asking to wait to file it to see if the Supreme Court's even going to hear it. Isn't that correct, Brian?
Well, right now it's on interlocutory appeal to the Court of Appeals, I believe.
Okay, that's where it is. Yeah, I couldn't remember what level it was at. But yeah, they have not filed it yet.
So are we being asked to help possibly finance the amicus brief?
We could be.
It will be. When Tag hardly ever does an amicus brief, I mean, it's been like a decade since they did one, but it is beyond their budget, so they'll reach out to the members to with their hand out to ask for funds to fund it if they vote to do it.
And I assume prior to that, we would have an estimate and what our pro rata share would be.
Well, it wouldn't even be pro rata. It'd be whatever district decided to chip in. And it's, you know, nobody's obligated to do such.
Well, I just know that those could get very, very expensive.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, there'll definitely be an estimate.
But we get to choose how much we spend, correct?
Yeah, we can spend zero, we can spend the dollar, we can give them $500, we can give them whatever we choose.
Okay. As long as it's not open, a blank check, and we've got some control of what we do, I don't have any objection.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend. I mean, if the board's okay with it, I mean, if they ask for it, I think we give them $500. I mean, unless if it comes back and they need a lot more, then I can come back and ask the board what they think. But if the board's all right with that, I mean, we can pledge.
I doubt on this that they would ask any district for more than $1,000. Assuming
I was about to ask how many districts are in TAG and how many of them are financially solvent enough to be able to participate.
Yeah, my $1,000 estimate is based on a rough assessment of how many districts are in TAG and about how many of them can participate.
Yep.
Okay. Having learned that lesson with the GMA8, that some of them just aren't able to.
Correct.
So right. That's why I asked that. We don't need to take any action on this, do we?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Anything else other than that?
The only other thing is just worth noting, the Sage Natural Resources in Hood County, we did withdraw our objection to the our protest to that well. They've agreed to drill a monitoring well next to it if they choose to move forward with the injection well. Scout Energy, we've filed protests for three injection wells in Monte County, two of which they've submitted what we need, and we're waiting on third, but we expect them to get that to us. And we had a whole lot of wells registered this year, a whole lot of new wells. Next month, I'm going to put together a little presentation, kind of a video, if nothing else, showing the four counties. I'm going to have basically dots on the map for all the wells that were in existence that we know of before the district was created. And so that's maybe 20% of what was actually there. And then I'll show a time-lapse video of each year, how many wells are added. I think it'll really paint a picture of what's been happening in our district. But I'm going to have staff get that ready so I can show you all next month.
We're going to take that to the commissioner's courts too?
Yeah, I can do that, and we'll probably post it online. I'm going to try to do it in a way we can report it and put it online, put it out there, and definitely let folks see it.
Okay, good.
That's all I got under my reports, Tracy.
All right. Agenda item 10, review line item expenditures and adopt budget amendments to the 2020 budget. Doug?
Yeah, just a few things. It's been a weird year. We're going to come in pretty far under budget, but there are some things that we need to move around just because we had costs shift around in ways kind of unexpectedly. The credit card processing. Obviously, because the offices is closed to the public, a lot more folks are paying with credit cards. So our credit card, the cost to the district have increased. But we've got money in the auto insurance, so we're recommending moving money from the auto insurance line item over to credit card processing. We drilled several monitoring wells this year, and we talked about this. We need to move 51 grand from the monitoring well drilling fund, which is assigned funds, into the budget, into that line item. For office furniture, because of the new staff, we got rid of the three old desks from the 60s from the Texas surplus, and we had some nice modular units put in there. So I'm recommending move money from postage and office equipment into the office furniture on item. Telephones were more because staff is working from home so much and they're using their own phones. So we've got a voice over internet phone that we were able to transfer over to staff's phone. So it, like, when it rings the office, it would ring directly to Lena's cell phone. So we've been reimbursing staff for using their cell phones for the district. So we need to move money into that line item. And then the last, medical insurance, the last couple ones. And outside contract services, we've had folks come in and do deep cleans of the office. And then that also includes, like, some IT work that was done for us, you know, helping us set in a remote connect and things like that. Helping us with some computer issues. So I'd recommend approving the budget transfers as presented. And this should balance us out for the end of the year.
Chair, would entertain a motion to approve the budget transfers as presented.
I so move.
Motion by Shannon. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
I think I heard Director Berkeley there.
No, you didn't.
It was Don.
It was Don? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. General Counsel's report. Brian, other than we got a new state senator?
You do. You got a new state senator up in Senate District 30, Drew Springer. Beat Miss Luther on Saturday, so that means Montague County is going to control everything. Is that right?
No, it's going to be Cook County, because the Cook County judge came out today resigning, and he's running for Springer's seat.
Oh, really?
Already. So
let the musical chairs begin, right?
There's probably going to be a horse race on that.
Oh, I bet. Most of our stuff over the last month has been on enforcement matters, injection well stuff at the Railroad Commission, and legislative stuff. The general manager and legal counsel have been very actively involved in our legislative stakeholders groups. I think that the end process of that is a much pared back legislative agenda coming out of TWCA. We only had two bills that were approved. Doug's included those in his report, so I won't. We've got one omnibus bill, groundwater district bill in the Senate, and a companion bill in the House that include the Farm Bureau's three priorities. Doug and I have been very actively involved in the issues included in that bill, and I think pass or fail, we've worked with the Farm Bureau to get the language in a shape that we think we can support. So it ought to be pretty good. We're approaching about 1,100 bills filed so far since pre-filing started the Monday after the November election. That's pretty much on pace where we were 2 years ago. But the number of water bills is down a little bit. We've got a lot of open government type bills that we're going to be watching, and we'll keep you guys posted on in our legislative updates. That's about all I have.
Is Springer interested in water?
Yes. He's been a quiet supporter all along. So that may be a plus for us as he gets his feet wet in the Senate. No pun intended. As far as who winds up as the state rep seat, do not know. I expect there to be one or two more candidates out of Cook County. Understand, this district goes all the way to Wellington. Mm-hmm. Wraps around Wichita Falls. It's got 22 counties in it. So we very easily could have somebody out of the panhandle running too. time and place for a next meeting. Doug, I don't have my calendar in front of me. What are we set for January next year?
What is it, the 25th, something like that?
25th, yeah, the fourth month.
Yeah, the fourth Monday.
Next meeting will be January 25th at 5 p.m. We'll presume we will be under Zoom until we all get inoculated or have had it, or the governor rescinds his order.
I'm going with inoculated.
You want it inoculated? Yeah. You may wind up having to do both, have it and get inoculated. Anybody have anything else? Anything we need to add to the agenda for next month? If there's not any, wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.